Amen. It's some good singing tonight. Worshipful, focused on the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you called out his name in the service yet? Jesus. Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been good already to be together on this Wednesday night. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And you can just remain seated tonight. But I want to remind you that Friday evening is Young Adult Fellowship. Saturday at 9 is Senior Saints Breakfast. And then on Sunday, I hear that we have a really good preacher scheduled. And you'll want to be here and invite friends to hear his ministry. Amen. I know you'll be blessed. Good friend of mine, and I know he'll be blessed with his preaching. Amen. I want to do a quick poll for a reason. Have you glanced at these verses yet on your phone, or verses 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, on your phone, iPad? I don't know if they're on the screen yet or not. You can go ahead and put them on the screen. This is verse 5. How many are really familiar with these verses? Let me see your hand. Okay, about two-thirds. Let's read them. I want to just preach a little bit from these verses tonight. Here's what they say. Trust in the Lord. And by the way, these banners remind me. Remember we preached through the names of God? Don't these banners look good? And they remind me, you see how Lord is in all capitals here or uppercase? Does anyone remember what that means when you see Lord in all uppercase? What does it mean? It means the Hebrew behind it is Jehovah. So this is literally says, trust in Jehovah. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to preach tonight on this, verses that mean something. I really believe these are verses that mean something. I believe they can mean something very personal, very private, very powerfully to each of us tonight. Now, the reason I asked to take that poll, how many were familiar with these verses, it's because not too long back, I was dealing with somebody that was really upset, really consternated, and in trying to help them, I said, here, I got my Bible. I said, I want to show you some verses, and I showed them these verses, and I said to them, I know you're familiar with these verses, and they looked at them and looked back at me and says, no, I didn't know those verses were in the Bible. Now, I shared that because those two verses in Christianity have been two of the most beloved verses of all time. Many of you have found those verses very beloved. But as I have been preaching, there is a huge shift that's taking place in Christianity. And that little incident is an example of that shift that's taking place. One of the shifts that is taking place, hear me tonight, is people's favorite verses are changing. You know, you can tell what a church is, what an individual is, what a movement is by what are their favorite verses. Someone asked me the other day, what's your favorite verse, Pastor? And that's always a hard question to answer, you know, off the cuff like that. But did you know your favorite Bible verse reveals a lot about who you are? And I say that I'm kind of concerned about this shift because if you did a poll today, the favorite verses of people today are verses that almost exclusively are about God blessing me, God anointing me, God making my dreams come true. And you say, why are you concerned about that? Because very often they're verses taken widely out of context. There'll be a verse about God blessing Israel as a nation, and somebody claims that as their favorite verse for themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. There are verses that talk about God blessing us, and they ought to mean something to us, and they ought to be important to us, and about God anointing us. But what I want to point out tonight, these two verses that we just read, and some of you are still looking at those, did you realize that for almost, I'm trying to think back in history, at least for two centuries, the 19th and 20th century, those verses were the favorite verses of Christians. Not only those verses, but any verses that were about seeking God, verses about pleasing God, verses about walking with God, verses about God's will, these were the favorite verses of Christians. These two were a part of it. Now, before I say anything more, I want to do something that it was not till today, it really became so clear to me, or yesterday. But let's look at these verses again. I'm going to point out something. We usually take verses 5 and 6. So here's verse 5. We'll be looking at it tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It became clear to me that we hardly ever go to the next verse, but the next verse is the key to verses 5 and 6. Here's the next verse. Here it is, verse 7. This is the key to verses 5 and 6. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's this that makes 5 and 6 work. Trusting in the Lord, acknowledging him, his directing our paths. It's when we're not wise in our own eyes, but we fear the Lord and we depart from evil. So let's look at these verses tonight, verses 5 and 6, and then at the end of each point, I just got 3 points, maybe 4, at the end of each point, I want to return to this verse 7. So these verses, 5 and 6, mean something. Number one, they mean something if God's will is what I want. These verses, 5 and 6, mean something if God's will is what I want for my life. If I'm interested in pleasing God, if I'm interested in doing what God wants me to do, then these verses mean something. So let's look at them very quickly, and I'm not trying to be redundant. I'm trying to make a point, but look at verse 5 again. Trust, and I want to stop here for a moment. Here's my definition of trust tonight. It's to rely or depend on somebody or something, to rely and depend on someone with hope. You rely on them and you depend on them, and it brings you hope to do so. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you want what God wants for your life, those verses appeal to you. There's something about them. I'm wanting what God wants, and you read those verses and you get something stirring on the inside. Now listen. Unless it's your heart's desire to please God, to do his will, you'll read right over these verses and they'll mean nothing to you. But if you want to please God, I promise you, these verses will strike a chord in your heart. However, if there's something in you that you really, really don't want God's will for your life, you don't want to please him, you don't want to do his will, these verses will not grab your attention. But if you want to do God's will, I promise you something. I can guarantee you will return to these verses again and again and again and again in your Christian walk. You'll find yourself back to these verses. You will memorize them. I want you just, again, if we go back to verse 5, I want you just to pause for a moment on the word trust. Notice the way this is put. Trust. It's put in a way that this is something urged upon us. In fact, it's almost a command. It is. It's a command. Trust in the Lord. Why? I'm emphasizing it because it's appealing to our will. It has nothing to do with our feelings. Primarily, our feelings are a part of that, but it's an appeal to our will. Do you want this? Do you want God's way? If the answer is yes, you trust in the Lord. Amen. Do you want this? And really, we use these verses for discovering God's will for our life, but they're not so much about finding out what God's will is, but these verses are about trusting God enough to do his will. Now, here's the fact that a lot of folks don't want to concede, but did you know we already know pretty much God's will for our life? It's right here. So it's not so much, you know, we sometimes people do. I'll get to that in a moment. They use these verses. Oh, what's God's will for my life? What does he want to be? What's my occupation? Whom does he want me to marry? And I'm going to look at these verses, and we're all concerned about those things, and I understand. But God has revealed his will, and these verses are about trusting in the Lord so that I can do his will that's already been revealed to me. Lean not into my own understanding, so I'll follow God's commandments. I'll do his bidding. Amen. You know, often we make life's choices without consulting God's will. We only consult our own will. I really appreciated someone one time that I knew. Whenever he had a major decision to make in his life, he didn't go talk to his friends. He didn't go talk to people, first of all. He did a search of the whole Bible to see what God's will was for his life. See, he's not leaning to his own understanding. He's acknowledging God. And if you want God's will and God's way, you won't just consult friends or family, though there's a role for that. You will consult God. What does God want for me? And it's revealed in here. Now, I said we return to verse 7. Here it is. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. See, this shows whether or not I want God's way. Am I willing to depart from the evil way, the wrong way? Did you know the best way to be in God's way is simply to depart from the evil way? If I want God's will and way for my life, then I'll do everything I can to steer away and stay away from the wrong way, from the way of evil. And by turning from evil, I show it's God's way that I want. It's all in what we want. Do you want this? If you want this, these verses appeal to you. Secondly, these verses mean something if I'm willing to concede. If I'm willing to concede, or we could put the word admit here. Look at verse 5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. These verses mean something when someone is ready to concede. I can't do this on my own. I can't figure it out. I can't handle this. I can't make it on my own. I cannot get there with my own understanding. I'm conceding the fact. I'm conceding by turning to these verses that I need help. But I'm also conceding God knows what I don't know. God is able where I'm not able. Amen. God is willing where I'm not willing. You know, sometimes I mess up a lot of things, but I try to do everything myself. Some of you are like that. And it can be a computer problem. And I'm trying to fix it, making it worse. And my wife will say, well, why don't you ask Tim or Mike? Or are you kidding? Why? Because for me to ask for help is to admit that I couldn't do it. It's to concede that I wasn't able. I mean, I'll try to lift something that's 300-400 pounds by myself. And my wife said, you're going to break your back. Why don't you go ask somebody for help? Are you kidding me? To ask for help is to concede I'm a weakling. You know, I'm not going to do that. And it's the same with the Lord. We don't come to him for help because we think we can handle it. We're sufficient. I want you, these verses mean something when you come to the place that you're willing to say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't trust in my own way. I've got to have your help. I've got to have guidance. I've got to have strength. Amen. Amen. So let's return to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Concede my opinions, my desires, my ability is limited. These verses, 5 and 6, will mean something. If I'm willing to concede, I'm not wise. I need the help of the Lord. These verses mean something to me if I'm ready to surrender. Now, there's a difference between conceding and surrendering. You can concede and still not ask for help. You can concede you can't do it and still not accept somebody else's help. Am I right? So this takes it a step further. These verses mean something if I'm willing to surrender. So let's look at them again. You say, we're going to go home. You've repeated these verses so much, it's all we're going to hear all night and all day tomorrow. Good. Good. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on it to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That sounds like surrender to me. In all thy ways, give it up. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We say we want God's help. We say we want God's way. We say we want God's will, yet we keep trying to do it on our own. We keep holding on to that thing. We keep trying to figure it out. We keep trying to have it both ways. But if I read these verses right, we surrender ourselves to God. We surrender our problems to God. We surrender our will to God. We surrender our future to God. We surrender ourselves to the Lord. And then he helps us. It's kind of like this. If you had a large amount of money, you'd get nervous about it just lying around your house, right? I'm talking about a really large amount of money. Let's say you had $100,000. Wouldn't you kind of be nervous leaving that on the kitchen table? Or under the bed, or in your glove box. That'd make you nervous. You know what you'd probably do? You'd probably make this decision. You'd probably say, you know, my money would be safer at the bank than in my own hands. Now, let's don't take this analogy any further than that. Let's not talk about, you know, capitalism, finances. But basically, on a practical level, you would conclude that your money would be more secure. The bank would do a better job securing your money than you would. So do you know what you would do? I promise you, I'm pretty certain you wouldn't go dig a hole in the backyard. I'm pretty certain if you had $100,000 handed you tomorrow, not being comfortable handling it yourself, you would take it down to the bank and surrender it to them to keep your money, wouldn't you? I want to tell you something. This is how it works. So you go into the bank and you say to the teller, I got $100,000 right here, and I want you to take care of this money and keep it secured for me. And they say, okay, we'll be glad to do that. They can make some money off that. Sure, we'll be glad to do it. Okay, take care of my money. See you. And you start out the door holding the $100,000. They're going to be hollering at you. Come back here. I thought you wanted to keep my money secure. Oh, I do. I want you to make sure my money's safe and secure and none of it's lost. Thank you very much. And you start out the door. They're going to call you back. And then they're going to point out a very practical truth. The only way they can be responsible to keep your money secure is if you hand it over to them. You surrender it to them. And not just half of it or three-fourths. They can only be responsible for it if you hand and surrender all of it over to them. Hey, think with me. Don't we do that with God sometime? God, I want your will for my life. I want to do what's pleasing to you. I want you to help me with my problems. Help me navigate through life. Help me to be what you want me to be. See you, God. And we start walking off with our problems and our troubles and our abilities. And God calls us back and says, I thought you wanted me to keep your life secure. I thought you wanted my will for your life. I thought you wanted to do what I want you to do. I do, God. See you, God. I got some. Wait a minute. God said, the only way this works, if you want me to take your life and make it what it ought to be, and if you want me to have your will, my will in your life, you've got to give yourself to me. And how much? 50%? 75%? How much? All. Do you hear the words of Paul? For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed into his hands against that day. Paul said, what I have committed, I'm persuaded he's able to keep. So see, these verses mean something. If I'm willing to surrender myself to him, all my wants, my wishes, my opinions, my concepts, I surrender it to the Lord. Amen. Now look, I'm going to put a little parenthetical here and I'm going to be done. But I know some people are thinking people and say, you know, if you tell some folks that, they're just going to turn everything over to God and not fulfill their own responsibilities. They're going to renege on their personal responsibilities. And so they don't have a job, but they're just going to say, well, I surrender that to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about it. They're not going to go out and seek for a job. They're not going to fill a job application out. They're just going to turn it over to the Lord. And some of you are thinking, well, that's not right either. There's personal responsibilities. And that is true. That is true. You know, if you never change your oil or check your oil or even fuel your car, you can't get in it for a long trip and say, I'm just turn this trip over to the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of me. You should have checked the oil. You should have fueled the tank. So there are personal responsibilities. But after we've done our part, after we've fulfilled our responsibility, we should leave it to God. Let God handle it. Trust in the Lord. Do you really, we got a great group of young people tonight, but do you really want to choose your mate without God being involved in the process? How's that going to work out for you? Well, take a look. I mean, not in here, but take a look. How's that work out? Do you really want to choose your life calling and occupation? And you don't do it by saying, well, I got a great ability and I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God help me get it done. No, you bring your life humbly to the Lord. And so let's return to this verse, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Surrender to him. Make him everything in your life. I can or I won't trust God if I don't fear him enough that I give him everything. Put my whole life into serving him. Last of all tonight, these verses will mean something if I believe in providence. I know providence is a word that's not used much in Christianity anymore, so let me briefly define it. To believe in providence is to believe in divine care and divine guidance and divine arrangement of your life and destiny. When I believe in providence, I believe that God is orchestrating things. This isn't the same thing as predestination. This just means God takes care of his people. He's got it in control. It's in his hands. And so to believe in divine providence is to believe in divine care, divine guidance, and divine arrangement of one's life and destiny. Now let me show you, and I've done this many times through the years, it's not going to be new, but most people read these verses wrong. Let's revisit them for the last time and see how people read them wrong. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct you. That's how people read it. Does it say he'll direct you? Does it say he'll tell you which way to go? Does it say he'll tell you what decision to make? What does it say? Does it say he'll direct you? What does it say? He will direct your paths. This is providence. What it literally means is that if I have surrendered to him, if I have yielded my life to him, if I fear him and I shun evil, I don't have to go around just upset all the time, wondering, am I going to do God's will? Am I going to do God's will? Am I going to make the right decision? I don't have to do that. Because if I'm sold out to God, he is literally drawing the path, putting the path in front of me before I get there. He makes the plan. That's why it's a very dangerous thing just to make your own decision. And even ostensibly making it spiritual, well, I feel like God. Don't blame God for something that came from your own spirit. I hear people say it all the time, well, I just feel like God wants. You put a God in there when you know down deep it's just what you want to do and what you think and how you feel. And no wonder people get so upset because I don't know if I should do this and I don't know if I should do that. But if you're trusting the Lord with all your heart, just do that day what you know is God's will. And as you proceed through life, he will put in front of you what's next. It was from a different verse, but I remember a preacher came through years ago in one of our chapel services at Bible school. And back then we're having chapel in the Kessler. If you've ever been there, that platform's probably 4 or 5 feet tall. And he was preaching about God's will from a different verse. And he said, you want to know God's will for your life? I'll tell you what it is. God's will for your life is the next step. And he looked down 5 feet and he said, except for me. But see, there's none of that if you're trusting the Lord, because when you reach out, He places the path before you. Divine providence. Oh, what a confidence. These verses can mean something if I believe. Even God is ordering my life. God is taking care of things. Trusting in the Lord. He's arranging our path. So let's return the last time to the verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Fear the Lord because He's sovereign. He has all things under control. Fear the Lord. He knows everything, including my needs and my future. He is everywhere. He's already in my future. Fear the Lord. He's all powerful. Amen. Let Him have total control. And when we have this idea of God with utmost confidence, we can surrender ourselves to His control, knowing that He arranges, He directs, and He sets the path in front of us. So do these verses mean anything? Do they? Yes, if you want God's will. Yes, if you're willing to concede you can't do it your own. Yes, if you're willing to surrender completely to Him, everything, every aspiration. And these verses mean something if you believe that God is in control and providentially arranges our lives. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Music, could you come? I could create several scenarios. It might happen with the doctor. You may go to the doctor with a particular problem, and the doctor says, I want you to do this. And it seems disconnected to your problem. It doesn't seem like it'll address anything or take care of anything. And you'll look at the doctor and say, why do you want me to do that? And he'll say, just trust me. Might be a parental situation, child. Some things parents can't really explain or give all the ins and outs. And so the child comes to them and the parent says, now here's what I want you to do. And the child says, that don't make sense. It sounds pretty dumb to me. And yada, yada, yada. And the parent says, this time you just need to trust me. You know my love for you. You know how I feel about you. We could go on and on. It might be in a classroom. The teacher might ask you to do something as a student. That doesn't sound like I should be doing that. How does that fit with the service? And the teacher says, trust me. You're going to have to trust me. Those are people that know. They know in a larger circle than you do. They know more specifically in that field than you do. Not only that, they know the outcomes of these things. They know how it works. And that's what we do with God. Sometimes we don't understand. But rather than doing our own thing, and rather than going by our own inclinations and our own feelings, we surrender ourselves to Him and His will. And when we don't understand, we just simply say, Lord, I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you. Amen. Could you stand? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these verses that do mean something. May they continue to mean something to the hearts of people who wholly follow you, who desire wholly to serve you, complete, sold out, seeking you. Lord, like this Wednesday night crowd, Lord, just help us to find new confidence and new hope. Help our trust to forever be unshaken in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to come and let God's word find lodging place in your heart? Would you just pray about the things you heard tonight? Amen. Would you do that? Would you pray about the things you heard tonight? Say, God, I want to concede. I can't do it. I don't want to lean into my own understanding. I want to surrender. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways. I'm going to surrender. Surrender. I'm giving myself wholly to you, Lord. Completely to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the Lord with all thy heart. Oh, it's a personal thing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hallelujah. I will trust Him. I will trust you, Lord. My hope and reliance is in you. My dependence is on you, Lord. Lord, you're the God of heaven above and earth beneath. Hallelujah, Lord. You're the God that rules and reigns supremely. We turn our hearts. We turn our attentions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want your will, Lord. I want your way, Lord. Not my way. Not my will. Not my inclinations, Lord. Not my impulses, but your way.
Facing problems on my
own. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord.
I don't know what's best for me.
I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord.
I surrender, Lord.
I want your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So I won't be in your way. Put me where you want to, not where I want to be.
Hallelujah.
And if I
just individually. Just between you and the Lord, no one else. Just between you and the Lord, no one else. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding.